Hello, and welcome to the media ministry of Living Word Church in Roberts, Illinois. Today, Pastor Douglas Lee shares truth from the Word of God that will inspire and motivate you. We pray that as you listen to this message, your ears will be open to hear and your heart to receive all that God has for you. Join us now as we journey together through God's Word.
Today's a continuation of last week, and you probably say, thank the Lord, because last week was about the degrees of darkness and how the enemy comes against people's lives, how darkness is progressive, how darkness in the Scripture is the opposite of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is full of light. The kingdoms of this world are filled with darkness. I won't call it the kingdom of the devil. He's never been given a kingdom. He has cabbaged onto this world and considers it his kingdom, but he's not the king of anything. But he is one of the rulers of darkness, is what the Scripture says. Scripture won't give him the dignity of being the king. However, he is a ruler. We learned last week that we contend against those rulers of darkness because we're in a fallen world that has a lot of darkness in it. We were also in a world where Jesus died and gave his life so we could have the light. He said his light would be the light of men, or our navigation. He's our way through the darkness of this world without getting caught up in it or kept back by it. So last week we talked about what happens to people when we start to go backward, that there's a progression. When a person who has walked in the light of God, and when I say the light of God, Jesus came into your heart as Savior. He's your light. When we make that decision, the enemy wants to lure us away from increasing light to increasing in darkness. And this world is all about that. One of the chiefest ways the enemy does that is by distraction. I don't believe that people who love Jesus just by default go into the darkness. We get distracted by maybe the business of life or demands on us. And we quit putting our eye on God's Word. And in this world, when you quit putting God's Word before you, a lot of other words are going to come before you. They're not going to ask permission. They're going to begin to invade your life. From driving down the freeway to the signs that you see, to opening up your phone and all the advertising on it, and looking for something that's going to help you, and have to wade through all of the stuff everybody else wants to tell you is going to help you before you get to what you really want. Going to try to get you to buy five other things that you don't really need because you're going for the one that you want. But you get distracted by the color and beauty and excitement. Oh, that's something new and that's really cool. And so-and-so has one of those. And maybe I do need that. And pretty soon, distraction we think is a need. And distraction is taking us away from the prize or the goal or our original intent. And we get so deep in it that we say, now, why did I go to this website? What was I looking for? What was it? We got to look back down to our pencil note or our notebook in our phone or whatever to remember what were we doing there. And you get so caught up in that, that not just seconds or minutes pass, but hours. Why? If you're interested, click here and it opens up a new window. Click here, it opens up. And you can just go on to the end of your days opening windows. What is that intended to do? It can bring good, but it's full of distraction. So today, if the Holy Spirit begins to work in you, he typically opens our eyes to a bit of truth. Then our eyes look to our inward self and go, uh-oh, that applies to me. And Jesus talked about that in the Scriptures being the principal way we grow in the light, is we recognize, uh-oh, I just got a bit of truth out of God's Word, and as I apply it to me, it's revealing something about me. And the Word can reveal good, but it can also run darkness off. It can also open our eyes to a greater understanding. So what happens is we begin to recognize, wait a minute, my life has been given back to Jesus as I make him my Lord. I better not get too distracted from that. I know many believers who once thought God had a design on their life, that there was something they were to do for him. And people seldom forget an impression that they believe came from God. It's in there somewhere. But it becomes buried by the distractions of this life. I don't think anybody does that on purpose. I don't think any of us put God in the closet on purpose. I don't think that we purposefully walk away from something God has put in our heart. I think, though, the voices of this world, the distractions in this generation, are the chiefest means the enemy uses to pull the people of God off track without them figuring out what happened. And we call it being too busy. But some of our busy is simply being distracted away from the day's necessities or the day's goals. Ever get up in the morning with your well-laid plan and you get home in the evening after dinner and the dishes from lunch and breakfast didn't get done and the laundry didn't get folded and the basics are not getting done. And we want to say, my day was just too busy and I'm just overcome with all of this responsibility. When I observe the habits and patterns of modern day people, most people spend more time distracted. And we'll talk about distraction. We get distracted and then the essentials get neglected. I want you to consider applying that truth. Apply the downside of being in the information age. Apply the downside of that against your calling and the plan of God for your life. Not everything we blame on the devil is openly the devil, but he is wily and tricky in his ways. He's out to deceive us without us figuring out we've been deceived. He's out to fill our eyes and ears and life with interesting things that may be innocent enough in their own right. I know if I go online, I like certain kind of clothes and certain brands, and I know what fits me. I'm sort of weird to fit clothes in. In some shirts, it's a medium. In some shirts, it's a large. I found out in Japanese shirts, I'm a triple XL. I'm not built like a Japanese person. So I go online and I'm one of those, I start looking for shirts. And if I don't set a little timer or something, I will have looked an hour for one shirt. Now you couldn't pay me enough to go in a department store and shop 1 hour for anything. But what happens is there is an appeal in how things are made so convenient. And advertising is designed to be recreational for us, to enjoy the pursuit. Enjoy the treasure hunt. Turn buying a shirt that is going to fade away and rot away, but spend, and no shirt's worth an hour of my time. So I step back and recognize, no, wait a minute. That foolish distraction is what's causing me to have to go mow in the rain when it's getting dark, because I did that silly. Now, I'm not condemning shopping online. I do that. But I want you to begin to evaluate simple things that have distracted you against God's dream and even your dream. See, God has something that He dreams about you doing for Him, and then you have a whole lot of other dreams that you want Him to bless. We have both. Did you know He likes both? He put that desire in us. But so many times, rather than blaming, oh, that I just have such resistance or such a hard life, we have to look at why are we in the situation that we're in. And I'm sharing with you something that you would find in a lot of publications, like the Habits of Most Effective People. What do they evaluate and they steer clear of most distraction. Because dreams are never realized in the distraction sphere, always in the reality and discipline of life. So if we can apply that to spiritual things, we get God's help. We get God's dream because He wants to empower that. He wants to help it come to pass. He's out to see us succeed. So as a foundation, Isaiah 54:17 says, "No weapon that is formed against you shall prosper." But we got to figure out how to make that come true. It's a truth, but we got to live it. Living it is a little more than hearing it. Hearing it is a beginning, and hearing that makes me ask a question. How do I get that? Because if the weapon's not going to prosper, it means that my endeavors will do better. Recognize that the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. There's a reason he includes to the pulling down of strongholds. There are strongholds that will keep us from prospering that the enemy uses as a weapon. And you have to know where to look. When we talk about the devil, you say, well, how do I identify the devil's weapons? No, don't give the devil that much credit. Remember, there are rulers and powers in this life. There's darkness prevailing. The enemy is out to distract you from accomplishing things with your life. The enemy is out to first destroy God's dream for you, if he can try to do that, while distracting you from it. So we sometimes think, I must have missed it somewhere. And we look for the big place we've missed God, when in reality it's a habit that we've taken on of missing little things. A habit of being truly honest about ourselves and say, wait a minute, what distracted me today? I would challenge you to begin thinking this way, and you will cut the wiles of the devil by 2/3 to 3/4 to 90% in your life. He has to work with something. To come against you, he has to work with you. We want to think he's got to work through everybody else. No, he can't work his wiles through everybody else to take you down. He can only do that if he gets to you. Others might aid and abet him, but they can't give him the victory over you. He won't give them the ability. He can't give them some ability to overcome you. That's why Scripture says, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. We got to remember now, our enemy is coming against Jesus who's living in us, and get right perspective. What does that do? It helps you see yourself in a more healthy way. Wait a minute, I'm not utterly silly here. I've just been duped by the powers in this world and distracted. I could tell stories, but I'm going to run out of time. Ephesians 6:11 says we have to take a stand against the wiles of the devil. He's out to trick you. Understand, his greatest skill is trickery. He's a liar. He's such a liar that if you are not discerning of the truth, he will trick you into believing that he's telling you the truth. If you're not careful today, he will begin to try to take away your ability to acquire focus that is God-given. What I want to impart today is what Jesus shared in the Scripture about focus and how we get a supernatural focus in our life. We begin to see things more and more God's way. And it helps us navigate out of trouble into blessing, because that's what the Scripture says the Word will do if we keep looking at it and we keep it before us. It becomes a sharpness to the way we see everything. When we look at God's Word, greater light comes into our life. And then when we look up and look out, the greater light comes out. Ever heard the phrase, it shed new light on my situation? That's what the Scripture is designed to do. That's what he promises it will do. But if, for instance, and this happens to me every time I get up here now, they turn the blaring bright lights on, I can't see your faces for a while. But I've learned how to focus in the brighter light. Why, I wasn't used to however many watts that is shining in my face. They tell me it makes my face look better online. I said, keep them turned on. What I recognize is after a little while, I can see more than shapes. I can see faces. And from about here, I can see everybody's eyes. I couldn't a few weeks ago. What happened? Over repeated exposure to the greater light, my eyes have been acclimated to focus. And see, the brightness is actually helping the situation. Now, if I were to suddenly turn it out, all the lights out, you know what would happen? Everybody would be like, what? We need time to focus. And if there was no light in the room, all of our desires and disciplines to focus, it's not going to work. The only way our eyes can focus again is the absence of light has to go by the presence of some light. If you've ever been taken out or taken down by the trickery, the wiles of the devil or the enemy, and separated from the fellowship of the love of God, and come into a dark place, the way out of the dark place is to bring some light into the dark place and then begin the process of learning to adjust to light again. We call that lifestyle. Where if we cut it out and everybody for 5 minutes and we could get totally dark and nobody turned their phone on and did, you know, all the stuff that everybody would try to do to compensate. If none of that happened, it was totally dark. And somebody struck a match, do you know how quickly your eye would notice where everybody is and what's happening in the room? But just that it would be as though somebody turned the floodlights back on. That's the hope of the gospel. That's what the word of God will do when we look at it. But he says if we will keep looking at it, our focus will keep adjusting. We'll look at the word, brightness comes, we look out, and it takes a minute. When you apply the word to your life, you look at it and you look into your life at first, I don't see how that applies to me, or I don't know how I'm going to do that, or I don't know how that's going to happen for me, or I just can't see it yet. Make sure and put yet in there. Why? You got to have a little time to adjust your focus. And we're talking about a spiritual focus where when you look at God's word, he works on your eyes. He works on your ability to discern. He works on your ability to look back into your life or into your situation and apply the light. What's going to happen? You're going to look and suddenly you see things in a different light because there's something inside of you coming out of your eyes instead of just a vision coming into your eyes. The vision of God never happens out here. It happens inwardly. It happens when you take in the word of God. Something happens on the inside of you, and your spiritual man says, you have just given me some x-ray technology to shoot into your life, and you're going to see some things you've never seen before. You're going to see things differently than you have before, and you're going to begin to believe the words that you heard because you're going to see with your eyes and say, that can happen for me. You might have a hard time saying, I believe that I receive it and I have it, but that will come. But you begin to believe. What is that? That's how God imparts vision, because we choose to focus. When we choose to focus and go through the squinting, if you're with me and you ask me to read something and it's not 14 font, I have varying degrees of squint. And if that doesn't work, I hand it to somebody young and say, read that for me and go slow and don't leave anything out. Why? I want to be able to see everything I need to see, or I'm not going to do the best doing that I can. That's what God has in mind. That's how we overcome the wiles of the devil. We see through his stuff with God's word. Now, Ephesians 6:12, the next verse says, we wrestle not against principalities and powers. We wrestle against principalities and powers and the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. You say, well, I don't want to wrestle. You're going to wrestle them anyway. That's the difference between light and darkness. So we wrestle by saying, God, help me apply the word. Help me shed light into my life. And you don't want to use your x-ray vision of your new revelation of what God's telling you to do about you on somebody else. I can look at Kayla and say, Kayla, I've got the word of the Lord for you because he's been speaking to me about cleaning up my act, and I know it applies to you because I've been watching you. Kayla has any intelligence at all, she'll say, let's get out of here. And she'll make him drive her away. Why? That's not how we apply God's word. He's not giving you x-ray vision for somebody else. He's giving it for you. And for you to decide, do I want to use this or not? Do I want to use this God technology or not? Do I want to use spiritual truth or not? That's what God technology is. That's what we're talking about today, really. How to overcome the wiles of the devil. And you don't have to get personal with him. I would warn you not to. Scripture says we're not supposed to. He's a defeated foe by Jesus, and we have to recognize all he's got left in his arsenal is to try to trick you. And you can outsmart him with God's word. That's what the word is all about. Now, walking with Jesus will break the power of this darkness. This is John 8:12. Jesus speaking, he said, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. How we walk in darkness isn't what we hear at church or what we don't hear at church. It's what we choose to do with the light that we hear. When we don't apply it to our lives, you can hear something today and say, well, I don't think that's for me. You're going to walk in darkness in that area. Why? It's up to you to choose to believe it. And when you believe it, then God can release it into your life. Everything that we do for the Lord is by faith. Now, he says, but we will have the light of life. So when we follow Jesus closely in this, we become less vulnerable. You get to where you get this age, hopefully. Maybe it'll happen for you much before this age, but you get older in the things of God and you recognize the wiles of the devil. Say, oh no, I know what he's up to. I know what he's out to do. I've learned to recognize distraction. So when distraction gets too much, I find a way to separate myself from the distractions. Now, I'm not a master yet, but I'm pretty good at it. Why? Sometimes we choose to be distracted. Sometimes we enjoy something enough, we call it recreation. Recreation, if you look at the definition of distraction in Webster's, recreation and personal enjoyment will be on the list of things that qualify as a distraction. So what do we have to do? Keep those things in check. Scripture teaches us in the Latter-day Church, men will be lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God because we choose to be distracted. So what I'm bringing you, I truly believe, is a message of the Lord to help us be his true church, to help us walk in victory, to help us overcome the tricks of the enemy, to recognize that he is powerless once we learn that he's a trickster. Say, oh no, I'm not going to be fooled. I mean, I kind of have a little thing I go by. You might get me once on something because I'm not the quickest wit right up front. I tend to trust people far too much. So if you try to pull an April Fool's on me or something, you might get away with it once. You come back around the rest of that year, you will not get away with anything with me. I'm not necessarily out to get you back anymore. That used to be who I was, but I will not be tricked again. We want to take that kind of stand against the wiles. We want to help each other recognize that. When somebody says, well, I just caught up in this and I didn't make it to church today. That's a trick of the enemy. Don't get caught in that again. See, really, Pastor? Yeah. People don't know how distracted they've become. We don't know. We're waking up to it. Now, I want to talk about following Jesus closely versus loosely. There's a difference. Jesus said there in John 8:12, we follow him. He's the light of life. He'll be the light of our life. The closer we follow him, the brighter the light. The closer we follow him, the more incredible becomes our focus to live for him. The more supernaturally empowered we become. Think of it this way. If you were the person that suddenly had X-ray vision, what could you do with that? But what I'm talking about is similar in nature. The closer, more closely we walk with Jesus, the more we can see. So much so that he says the Holy Spirit will anoint our life to see into God's planned future. Well, I don't know anybody that doesn't get fascinated by that. Say, you mean I can know God's plan into the future? In great detail, we can know. Where does that come from? It doesn't mean, oh, I have to have a prophetic gift. No, it means I have to have the helper of God. And what does he do? He says the light will increase. When we look at God's word, he does something inside of us. And when we look up, we've got to adjust. But there is light coming out now. And he's revealing what God's plan is well into the future. So I want you to expect God to open your eyes to that kind of level. Because we're the people of God. We're the people of light. We have to understand what it is to be a light in the darkness. What it is to be a source of light in the darkness. Recognize how this impacts you. You might be used to navigating in the dark and kind of feeling your way along in life and crying the name of Jesus once in a while. But he's wanting to turn you into the lighthouse so that he can move the lighthouse around. He wants you to become the mobile God helper to everybody else around you, where you've got enough light coming out of you that they're crying out saying, I am in a mess. And you can move your little self over into their situation and say, I believe the Lord's showing me this and I want to pray with you. I know the scripture says this. Why? You want their eyes to open. You don't want to be their eyes. You want their eyes to be open because God does that. So you want to take them to the word and get them to look at it and get them to think about it. Scripture says, mutter, utter, speak, and ponder. That means keep it before you put it on the refrigerator, put it on your phone, put it on the dashboard, put it in your closet, hang it up. Say, really, Pastor? You want to increase the light? You increase looking to the word. It's wonderful to hear it, but I'll tell you, you get much more mileage out of taking what you hear today, writing it down and looking at it, or taking the notes and looking at it. He says putting it before our eyes causes something to go on the inside that will penetrate and come back out like a laser beam into our future. I don't know about you, but I like superheroes. If I'd had enough gumption, I'd had a Superman suit and put Tim in it, not me. I'd pick somebody else, or Jeff. Jeff, you could have... But think about it. What does supernatural mean? God's desire is to give us what we would have had if the Garden of Eden had never been a place of downfall. He wants our focus to be on blessing and joy and peace and excitement. And when he opens our spiritual eyes and we get more scripture, that's what happens. It increases our liberty. God's not interested in increasing bondage. He gave us a new covenant that is all about liberty. It's all about saying, I want to bless you first and teach you as we go. But he'd rather get the goods to you and then teach you. Well, we train our kids the opposite. You will work and then you get it. But God says, you know, really? His desire is bless you and then learn later. And if we could trust our kids to learn everything that way, we'd do it that way too, wouldn't you? Because you get caught up in that. Sometimes say, oh, they've been so good lately, so sweet to me. And oh, they ask in such a nice way. Just give it to them. See, it's in our nature to want to be that way. But we are required as responsible adults to pass on responsible thinking and learn how to work and earn and prepare and save. And so what do we need? We want to impart natural skill, but we want to reveal the character of God. And every good parent does both. Once in a while, you're a little more godlike and say, you know, I know you're trying and I love you, so I'm giving this to you in advance, but I am trusting that you will do this now, won't you? And most of you had a talk like that with a parent. And you're going, what is that? That's the heart of God in the matter. He wants to move our lives into a place where we know he's counting on us and he gives us what we need. That's what spiritual vision is about. He wants to show you what he has in mind for you and then trust that you will do the right things by him once you see it, or especially when you have it. He's into blessing us for his purpose. Now, we can follow him closely or we can follow him loosely. Loosely would be we hear the scripture and go, I don't see that for me. And we don't look. I'm going to tell you, if you don't look for yourself, you'll always be loose with Jesus. It's when we begin to look, and I'm not talking about just look and go, I read 3 chapters today. Wonderful. That was your reading practice, I guess. But when we look, saying, there's something here God means for me, we're looking. There's something here is going to speak to me. If you start reading Song of Solomon and it's not speaking to you, go to the Gospel of John. Go to somewhere. Open your Bible to a new place and say, this is speaking to me. Why, the Gospel of John will stir your heart to love Jesus more and let you experience his love. You read the Song of Solomon, it's about a man and woman in love. Kind of. Now, distraction is a tool of the enemy to alter your destiny. Change your trajectory, to steal the joy of knowing God's purpose, seeing it come to pass. This is Luke 11, the words of Jesus, beginning in verse 34. The light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when your eye is single, your whole body also is full of light. He's talking about focus here. When your eye is singular, when your eye is focused, when your heart is set, your whole body is full of light. What happens? Our eye helps us set the goal. When we look at God's word, we say, I can have that. I want that. I'm going to receive that from the Lord. And our body begins to respond. Think of it this way. If you're going to walk out of the building, you're not going to look in that direction. You have to look in the direction where there's a door. You know, you might recognize, oh, that's the common direction, but if you want to get out of the building fast, and I screamed it was on fire and the ceiling started falling in, which it's not going to do, you would find that there are other ways faster to get out of the building than the one we use all the time. And you would make tracks to get out of here. So what do? We want to apply our spiritual eye the same way and say, wait a minute, God gave us the ability to look in that word and then look out there, and he will illuminate our path. He will show us what to do. If you believe that, your life will radically change. That's his promise. He said, but when your eye is evil or has too many focuses, or really what it means here is distracted. Interesting they use the word evil. Your body also is full of darkness. In other words, you're not going to make it out of the mess. You're going to go into more messes. Take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you is not darkness. In other words, there's two ways to navigate. One is in the dark, and you know what it is to walk through your house in the dark. I can pretty much navigate my whole house in complete darkness unless somebody else has been there to throw something in the path, or if the furniture gets moved, or if the cat runs in front of me. She's dark gray. I won't see her. You know, what will she do? She's learned to cry if she's running in front of me because I may not see her, and I don't try to kick the cat, but the cat has been kicked. Why? If I can't see her, she runs in front of me. So what do? We learn to navigate in the dark. What do? I can get out of the bed when I open my eyes. I've been in pretty close to complete darkness with my eye closed. I open my eyes, I can see around pretty good. Well, there's street light, and there's a bathroom light for her, a little night light out in the hall for her mom to be able to go from the bedroom to the bathroom, and there's light coming in all over. I can see just fine. But if you cut out all of that light, I'm going to have to navigate a different way. And Scripture says there's a relationship with God where we have to feel after him. We might touch him, not even know it's God. We're navigating in the dark, but just the tiniest bit of light. Like, that ain't God, that's Corbin. See, there's two kinds of relationships. There's one God made it to be, and the other that is a substitute that the wiles of the devil are in because of chosen darkness. Remember, last week, darkness is by degree. So is light by degree. Jesus is that place in the middle where he said, I'm going to put down darkness and be light to you. Choose me, choose me, choose me. He's also the Word of God. So every time we look, we're saying, I'm choosing you, Jesus, and you're doing something to me, and I'm going to look out and be changed. And we choose to believe that. Now, take heed, therefore, that the light which is in you be not darkness. If your whole body, therefore, be full of light, having no part dark, that's a challenge. The whole shall be full of light, as when the bright shining of a candle gives you light. He's talking about focus. Jesus is talking about focus. And if we increase our knowledge of the word, he's going to change the way we see life. He's going to change our ability to make decisions. I like it a whole lot better if I have to move fast to have enough light on the scene. Well, I will get hurt less. It won't matter what has been thrown in my path. I can navigate around it or over it or under it or something if I can see that there's an obstacle there. That's what the word does. It doesn't take away all the obstacles. It illuminates to us what would cause us trouble. And in the dark, we can't see those things. In the half dark, we won't see them quickly enough. If you've ever been in a situation to look back and said, I wish I had responded this way. If I had known this little thing, I would have responded this way. But I didn't know that one little thing, and I responded this way. Oh. That kind of disappointment, God's word begins to drive out of our life, because focus causes you to come into favor with God. The more focused we are on his word, the more we walk in his favor. What does he do? You have this inward voice, the person of the Holy Spirit. If you've not seen it in the scripture, he'll speak up and say, wait a minute, wait a minute. And you just want to freeze in your tracks. Why? He's preventing you from getting a bad splinter or something in your foot by jumping ahead. Now, that's the nature of our relationship with him. I want to talk about what this light does, and this is just going to be brief because I've got one verse that I want to work into you a little bit. All right? I want you to, well, it'll open your eyes, what I'm talking about. So we can navigate life by our senses, or we can navigate our life by God's senses. And it's really what He knows. He doesn't have to feel anything. He knows everything. That's safer than feelings. Feelings get us in trouble. Now, this is Acts 26, verse 18. This is the Apostle Paul speaking to King Agrippa, who he wanted to get the king saved. Paul was going for, let's go to the head of government. Let's get them saved. Let's get them living for Jesus, and everything's going to get better because the church was persecuted. So he was working to get government saved, and I'm sure had been praying and fasting. And anyway, this is what he said to Agrippa. He said, "This is my mission, King Agrippa. My mission is Jesus' mission. King Agrippa, this is what Jesus will do for you if you choose to come out of the darkness." And he was a little cautious how he's telling King Agrippa, you know, God wants to open your eyes and you become super king instead of just king. He was appealing to him. And at the end of the discussion, Agrippa said, "You almost got me, buddy." But he didn't want to give up what he enjoyed in his natural life. Here's the message of hoping that he maybe didn't get the king, but I bet you everybody else in the room said, "I think I want some of that." Why? They didn't get everything that the king got. So Acts 26, 18, he said, "First, I've come to open the eyes of people." Now, we know everybody in the kingdom wasn't blind. We know he's talking about spiritual things. "I've come to give you an eye on God's plan for the future. And if you line up with God's plan for the future, he'll give you favor. And oh, king, you'll become a great king. You won't just be King Agrippa. You'll be king something else, great Agrippa." He's appealing to him. Why? God does that. He takes us where we are and makes much more of us. Now, secondly, to turn them, and he's really talking to the king, to turn you from darkness to light. So what's he do first? He opens our eyes. When we hear the word, we have to choose to receive that, but he opens our eyes to that bit of truth. I've had some people say to me through the years, "Well, I like this part of your message. I've been listening to you." People that listen on Facebook once in a while, "I've been listening to you and I like this part and this part, but I don't know about this part." You know what I say? God's word is not a cafeteria plan. If you've treated it as a cafeteria plan, you'll be undernourished and you'll turn out like a freak. Why? He put the full meal deal in there. He wants us to get all of it. So you know what? I see this is a vitamin A in the kingdom of God. This is get our eyes working right. If we get our eyes working right, what does he do? He gives us a vision with hope and a future in it. He says so. So what God's going to show us is going to stir hope for our future and stir faith to receive it. He's not going to cause us to feel worse about what we see. He wants to illuminate us to the truth that Jesus set us free. That's what he's all about. To turn them from darkness to light. Number three, to turn them from the power of Satan unto God. Notice that the power of Satan isn't broken until they decide to go with greater light. See, I love praying for people and praying that they get set free from the enemy like we did last week and whatever it is. Why? Well, I'm a believer in that. I believe the anointing breaks the yoke. But once that yoke's broken, you want to go get the light on that. So I don't know. He set me free, but let me stay free. I don't want to fall into this trap again. I want to be free of that. No, number four, that they might receive forgiveness of sins. That's number four. Number five, that they might receive an inheritance. Now, everybody wants the inheritance. Yeah, I never try to trick you, but I've learned something about any audience. If I talk about blessing and inheritance and God, everybody just gets stirred up and excited about that. Why? We know it's true. We know we want it, and it's easy to believe it. But notice in the rank, there's a lot of light by number five. See, sometimes our failure to experience God's best is we just didn't get the light in us enough. We got around others with it and thought that was going to work. Well, I get around so-and-so that I'm going to be blessed because they're blessed. No, you're going to be exposed to light, but you got to take it in by looking at it your own self and saying, "I receive that for me. Jesus, you're going to make." Now, it's true they have an influence on you with who you hang around. You want to be around people who walk in the light, but that'll never be enough. Jesus wants to be your light. You got to look inward and say, all right, Jesus, let's change me. Let's work on me. And he keeps it private between you and him, but that's what he wants to do. That they may receive inheritance. Notice who gets it. That this people don't always like this part of the inheritance, but I keep preaching it. God means to prosper us. Why? We're doing his will. We're part of his work. We're part of his kingdom. He says, they may receive inheritance. Here's a stipulation. Among them who are sanctified by faith that is in me. That means we can't live any way we want to and get inheritance. What's he saying? If you're not getting inheritance, there's something he wants to shed light on so you can. Now that can make you mad. Say, well, I don't think there's anything really wrong with me. He's saying here, if we increase in the light, notice he put forgiveness before receiving inheritance and sanctification. If we experience his forgiveness, then he's looking for us to change our way. How do we change our thinking? If you can see through your eyes God's blessing is coming your way, it gets easier to give up whatever's standing in the way. See, that's the work of God's word that, oh, it makes us uncomfortable. But thank God it's a private discomfort. That's all going on the inside. And you can smile and God's dealing with something in there. Why? He's wanting to help us get to the inheritance, but he knows that there has to be a work done in us. Did you know when we don't want to let Jesus work in our life, we're preventing the favor and blessing of God to come because we've chosen to not have our eyes opened to God's plan. It keeps us blind. People today that say God doesn't mind about living this way or having this lifestyle or this or that, they just don't know the scripture. I'm telling you that the scripture says that the more he opens my eyes, the more I'm going to change and the more he's going to bless me. They're all tied together. What he does first is he lets us get it for ourselves. I can never convince you that you can get it based on what I say. You've got to go, I want to believe what Pastor said. I better look at this for my own self. I better drive this car for my own self. I better test this out for my own self. And then what happens? It begins to go on the inside. Then when light increases inside of you, if there's little secret recesses in there that have been kind of dark, you'll know. And you'll have this moment where you either choose to be convicted or depressed. Choose conviction. What does conviction do? Conviction leads us right down the path. We're going to receive forgiveness. Lord Jesus, help me change. I don't want to mope and grope in the dark anymore. I want to live in the kingdom of light like I'm supposed to and have a life that I can have joy in even when there's trials, problems. That they may receive inheritance among them who are sanctified. What does that mean? A work of sanctification is going to happen on the inside. What does that mean? We get something more that we could never get by ourselves because we're becoming more like Jesus. Understand the benefit of becoming more like Jesus is whatever he has for you, you get to have as you become like him. That's what unlocks our faith. When I know I've given my heart more fully to Jesus and I've let him clean up some part of my life that I've been... here's how he does it. He'll say, Corbin, you want me to clean up your life? Here's the washcloth, buddy. And here's the soap. Now, Corbin got to decide, or, okay, Mom taught me wash behind my ears. I can handle that. And what do we... We do it joyfully and we're forever changed. That's what he's out to do. This is James 1:25 as we close. God provides the light. He provides it. He freely gives it. But we have to apply the focus. When the light comes in you, it's not going to do any good for you until you use it to focus with the light that's coming out. It changes what you see. It changes what used to be in darkness is now flooded with light, and it takes you a little time. Some truths in God's word have taken me years to get acclimated to focus on. Why? I dig deep. When I dig deep, sometimes I see things and say, I wonder how that'll work. And I have to study for a while. I have to dig a little while. I have to pray and convince myself, I'm seeing that right. It sure says that. Or I can turn away and say, oh, we're not going to preach the sanctification part. We'll just end on inheritance. That'll make everybody clap. But you know what? I don't want to tell you what you can have and you not get it. I want to tell you how to get it. I like it in my life. I like to cut to the chase and things. If somebody's put together a 100 Tinker Toy things to build a Ferris wheel, I would just assume them come and help me do it rather than me having to read and figure it out. And this part goes here and this part goes here. Just let's put this thing together. That's how the Holy Spirit helps and cooperates with us. Now, he provides the light, but we have to apply the focus. James 1:25. Of anything I've said today, I want you to consider this verse. Think about this verse and apply this verse. It will change your life. All right? I'm telling you, absolutely. He will change your life. Whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, that's your scripture, that's your Bible. He didn't say whoever hears. Not all promises come to the one that hears. There's some that you have to look for. You can hear it from somebody else and they've got it because they looked. When you hear it, you want to go look and you'll get it too. See, there's an element of digging. Don't just read what everybody else says the Bible says. You have a conversation with the Lord and say, I need to see this for my own self. Now, but whosoever looks into the perfect law of liberty, in other words, there's nothing going to go wrong looking there, and continues therein, can't just look once, say, oh, I got it. I like this faith thing. I'm just going to name it and it's mine. No, you keep looking and you keep naming. Pretty soon you'll believe. He being not a forgetful hearer, notice he's heard, but he's looking. I want you to get this. Being a hearer is not enough to unlock all the promises of God. Here we see a hearer. He's heard, but he's looking and he's continuing looking. He being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. In other words, he's going to do something with it. This man shall be blessed in his deed. Notice the qualifications. This man will be blessed in his deed. Now, I want you to choose to focus and not be distracted, or you will miss the entire event of the day. He wants to open our eyes to see by the Spirit of God. He wants to reveal by the power of the Holy Spirit God information into your life. He's given you what I call a formula in the Scripture. I don't use that word very often. But there's things that look like a math equation to me. I say, if I work these factors, the sum is always going to be the same. So I do it again and again and again. And I start to say things like, God, there's nothing you won't unlock to me in your word because I'm looking. I'm looking. I'm hearing. I'm a doer. I want all of the word to be unlocked to you that way, and you will feel more power filled. And at the same time, walk in true humility to the Lord Jesus, because you'll know he's the one ringing the bell. He's the one doing it for you. I want you to have that. Now, getting it will be up to you, but I'm going to pray over you that you have that God intervenes in your ability to receive something from him. I remember in second grade learning my basic math. And when I had the times tables memorized quicker than other children, I did not wait to be called on. Teacher said, we're going to recite our times tables to 100, and I jumped up and took off. That's what God wants to see in you. And I remember thinking as I took off, will I remember when I get to the 12s? Because that was a little hard to just register in my mind. But you know, when I got there, they came. Teacher said, well, I didn't call for that, but thank you for your right example. You may sit down and not stand up unless I call on you. And I said, yes, ma'am. It's the happiest sitting down reprimand I ever had. Why? That's how God wants to do for you. Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you today for pronouncing over your house your intentions for us. for telling us the end at the beginning, even of this service, of what you have in mind. We know if we will focus on your word, you'll change the way we see everything. And we'll be more effective and less frustrated. We'll see more goals reached. We'll be happier people. We'll be better problem solvers. We'll feel more in control rather than life controlling us. We'll feel like somehow we have more control of life because it's your word taking over. And we're making way for you to do your thing in our lives. Heavenly Father, I ask today that you impart to us a special grace, a special ability to enter into a place we walk in this. Father, that we're greatly illuminated as your people, and we avoid the mistakes and the pitfalls. Father, wherever there's been difficulty in this past season, this next year is a year of increased light and revelation. It's a year of less stumbling. It's a year of less putting up with trouble and problems. It will be for us a year to choose our focus in you so that our body can go where our eye has chosen a focus. Heavenly Father, help us to apply that as a church, as individuals and families. Help us, Father, have the sense of great strides forward that are pleasing to you and change our natural life altogether. Father, I speak to the restrictions and the powers that have come against every person here. Satan, you turn loose and let go. I bind your power. And I loose and release the power of God by faith to work supernaturally, to open our eyes, to move forward in a productive way. Father, that life take on a greater joy and sorrow be driven out in Jesus' name.
We pray that today you were challenged to move closer to God and encouraged with the depth of His love for you. If you would like to know more or hear additional messages, please call us at 217-395-2231. You can also write to us at Living Word Church, P.O. Box 158, Roberts, Illinois, 60962. Or visit our website at gotolwc.org. And as always, we would love to have you join us on Sundays at 10 a.m. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May He make His face to shine upon you and give you peace.